Hi, I'm Jan Barbas, and welcome to Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. At Curry Matters, we and our guests will explore the issues that matter to you here in Curry County. Our topic today is annexation. Joining me are Brookings Mayor Ron Hedenskog and Port of Brookings Harbor Commissioner Jim Relaford. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Ron, the city approved a study of annexation a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. The contract that was approved by the City Council is with Portland State University. I have high regards for that organization. I believe that the information we're going to get from them is going to be the most unbiased information you could get. They are experts in demographics, and they will bring in the engineers to do whatever studying it takes on infrastructure. They're all key questions to annexation issues, and I think we're going to get a good report from them.
It sounds good. What is the scope of the study? What areas are being studied?
The scope is to cover any annexation that could take place within the urban growth boundary. Urban growth boundary for Brookings extends north almost to the end of the Borax property, which is at Lone Ranch, and south through about Benham Lane into Arbor areas.
And so that does include the port of Brookings Harbor.
Yes, it does.
And also what we generally view as the harbor community.
Yes.
Okay. And you approved several separate ballot questions. I think one of them was to pursue some grants to help pay for this.
$10,000 grant from Ford family, I believe it was. Don't hold me to that one. I don't remember who it was from, but we did receive a $10,000 grant.
Excellent. And so the cost of the study after the grant is?
To the city would be at $39,000. We are looking for an additional grant. The approval on the motion was to look for additional grants from DLCD, Department of Land Development and Conservation. That's where the original $10,000 grant came from. We're going to look for an additional. We might get next year's grant on that one also. So that would be a $20,000 grant from DLCD.
Excellent. And there was one other proposal to help fund it. I think you wanted to extend an offer to the Port of Brookings Harbor to participate.
One motion in that agenda item was to request Port the opportunity to engage the city with $5,000 additional funding that would be redeemable by the port in the event they put an application in for annexation.
And Jim, I think you've not yet seen this offer.
No, we haven't seen it yet, although it's been discussed informally. We have not received it yet.
So the port has no position on that at this time. Okay. What do you think? Tell me a little more about what this study's going to do for Brookings and why you think it's good to spend $29,000, $29,000, $24,000, depending on which grants and participants you're able to pull in.
In 2006, I participated with several other landowners up Old County Road on about a 40-acre annexation to the city. Our cost factors went well over $15,000 distributed out throughout the group. We just recently did a 13-acre annexation on North Bank Chetco Road. The costs for that, I believe, are currently over $20,000 to the applicant. This study that will come through Portland State University could answer so many questions that it'll drive down those costs for anybody who wants to apply to the city for an annexation. And this is savings to private individuals, could be savings to any person in the UGB. The study will involve answering questions that are 19 goals of a state land planning issue. So in amongst that, those goals are going to be massive infrastructure questions. Roads, police, fire, water, sewer, all the services availability through utilities, phone, cable. You can imagine all the infrastructure that it takes to operate a city when you're annexed to the city. Some of the 19 goals that the state mandates for land action have to be answered by those by that study.
It sounds good. Jim, moving to the port, September or October at the port meeting, you introduced a motion to move the port in the direction of annexation, and this is just the port-owned lands.
Correct.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I have a lot of scars. Well, I felt this was it's not a port decision. It was my decision to enter that that motion. There's several elements that prompted it. The first, and probably the most important, is recognizing that the port is the economic engine for this area. And this area comprises about 3/4 of the population of the whole county.
So this is the Port District.
The Port District.
And it runs?
From the California border to Pistol River, from the ocean to the wilderness area.
And how many people are in
that? About 14,500.
And it's basically those residents own the Port District.
That's correct.
They own the Port.
Yeah, it's a special district, and it's the residents are members of the Port District. They are, quote, I call them our stockholders, but they are the members. And the members elect a five-person board, of which I'm a member. And that board then is responsible for the activities of the port, from hiring an executive director to making sure the books are okay. I happen to be the secretary treasurer, so I have the responsibility to make sure that the finances of the port are working. And fortunately, the port's come from a fairly negative position financially into one that's fairly profitable right now. When I say fairly profitable, at least it's in the black. We're not making a whole lot of money. I view the issue this way. This port owns about $35 million worth of property, and it's mainly down here at the basin, the moorage area, the beachfront property. If any investor who had $30 million to invest would expect a return on that, and a reasonable return would be maybe 5% for $30 million. So that means that we should be making a net profit of about $1,500,000 a year, a net profit, if we're going to be good stewards of the stockholders' money and assets. Currently, this port delivers about $200,000 worth of profit, okay, versus $1,500,000, which is what we should be delivering. So we have a deficit there, and we need to figure out revenue solutions that can deliver that kind of return. In addition to that, we have a public function. We are a public agency, and we need to deliver services to the public. Those services are free fishing docks, access to the boardwalk, clean bathrooms. Those services we have to provide at no cost. So, in a long story short, we need to figure out a way to develop our port and to move it forward. And that means construction. That means moving into a direction that's maybe different and maybe uncomfortable for some people. I'm a firm believer that we have to do that. In order to do that, we need a couple of things. We need water. We have 5 restaurants on the port. We have to supply them with water. Last year, we had our first experience in many years with salt water. okay, because of drought, because of high tides, the entire harbor bench had to live for 2 months with bottled water. You couldn't drink the water that came out of the wells. So restaurants had to buy water if they were, or hide it, not talk about it. So water is infrastructure is a big deal for us. We're going to have to solve that problem. Frankly, law enforcement is the biggest issue in my mind that's going to hinder our growth. People will not invest in an area that doesn't have adequate law enforcement. When we have vandalism and we have thefts and burglaries and drugs and stuff like that going on unhindered, that's just a downer to the economic development. So we have to have effective law enforcement. One way or the other, we have to have it. Last, in order to make all of this work, is planning, permitting. We have a county that's basically financially bankrupt. The planning departments are going to be farmed out to somewhere. We need to have a hands-on planning process, and I'll give you a really good example. I found out, much to my surprise, a month ago, that not one of our operations on this port is zoned correctly. Every operation that we have, from the RV park to the marina to the retail, is on property that's miszoned for what we do. So technically, we're illegal on everything that we do here. We need to fix that. If we're going to put a extended boardwalk in, if we want to put a fish processing plant in, if we want to put a motel in, or if we want to revamp the RV park, we have to have permitting. We have to have planning. All of these things point to a relationship with the city. The city can bring us water, and they've committed to do that if we annexed. The smart thing would be to bring harbor water by moving some kind of a pipe across the river upstream so all of Harbor could have the benefit of that. If the Harbor Water District or the residents of Harbor choose not to do that, then the city will bring a pipe into the port, and we will provide water to the port property. By annexing to the city, we immediately have the benefits of the best law enforcement in the county. A fully staffed 24/7 police department. That would
Jim,
staff. Sorry to talk so much.
Oh, that's good. But I just want to get from you now precisely what was the proposal that you put to the Port Board of Commissioners.
The proposal was that we approve an application for annexation so we could get to the pre-application meeting where we could find out all the details that I just talked about. It was not to annex, it was to supply an application.
And there was a fee?
Yes, $5,000.
Okay. And now, that failed.
Yes.
And
three to two,
and now at your last meeting, Commissioner Patterson said he had become aware that there was a different way to do this without actually voting to approve an application. If I understood him, can you explain the difference in procedure as you understand it between Commissioner Patterson's idea and what happened a couple months ago?
Well, as I understand it, Commissioner Patterson has had some conversations with the city, and they've approved an ad hoc process, recognizing that what we're interested in is information. We need to have a body of information before we can really make a decision. As I said back then, I'm not sure annexation is the best thing. It looks to me to be the best thing, but there's a lot of unknowns, and we need to find out those things. So Commissioner Patterson's proposal is that we provide the city with a $529 fee and the city will convene the pre-application meeting of invested stakeholders to identify the issues that face us. And as an annexee applicant, my understanding is we do not have to make an application to get this process done. There's no commitment, any further commitment on the part of the port, other than to participate and get the information that we need. And frankly, I think it's a wonderful idea.
And Mayor, what's your view of Commissioner Patterson's, and I want to say Port Commissioner Patterson and your city mayor, Ron Hedenskog, what is your view of this proposal Commissioner Patterson has put in front of the Port Board?
I would believe that the city has made a reasonable offer. They have the services already available at the city to do a initial study and set the port onto a path. We call it the site plan committee inside the city, and site plan constitutes all the department heads, fire, police, planning, engineering, financing, and they sit down at a round table and take an application and say, how do you set a path to go forward? And they review multiple issues weekly. So for $529, we take it through the site plan committee. I'm assuming that's what Tim has talked to the city about. And then they will assemble the paperwork that will outline the path for the port.
Jim, Ron, let's talk about why annexation of the port property is a good thing or a bad thing and how you see it. Let's start with Port District members. Is this good for Port District members or bad for them? And how do you view the impact on Port District members?
And my answer to that question is that it's a very positive thing for the Port District members for a couple reasons. One is that it lays a foundation where we can see some development of the port. That translates into jobs, and that translates into economic growth, which we have to have. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that the Port District is comprised of 14,000 people. 6,400 of them reside in Brookings. A bunch reside outside of Brookings, and then there's a bunch that's down here near the port. The most confusing part of this, I think, to the people of the district is what authority does the city have over the port if the port were to annex to the city? In other words, can the city tell the port what to do? Can the city tax the port? Can the city apply loading fees or unloading fees for fish that's being brought over the dock? And the answer to all of those is no. The city has no authority over a district operation that's within its boundaries other than zoning and the things that any other business would have to have or any other organization. To say otherwise would mean that the city could tell the state how to run Harris Beach State Park.
And Ron, how do you feel about that?
I agree totally with Jim. Port District is very similar to the Chetco Library District. The boundaries are almost identical. If not, they are identical. City doesn't tell Library District what to do with their money whatsoever. It doesn't tell them how to do any operations, yet it resides inside the city limits of Brookings. It is not owned by the city of Brookings. Likewise, the port may be on the south side of the river in the town of Harbor, but Harbor doesn't own it, and the district owns it. Very similar. City doesn't tell Fred Myers how to make a profit on their business. They're inside the city, but as long as they're meeting city laws, paying their city services, we have no say-so. City has no say-so over Fred Myers' operation. Same as the port.
So you cannot tax the fuel, you cannot tax the loading and unloading.
The fuel sales could possibly be taxed if the citizens pass a sales tax this May. However, we wrote into the ordinance exceptions for any commercial operations on fuel taxes. Boats, local contractors running dump trucks on streets and things of that nature. And we did that intentionally so that we're not gouging any particular local contractor.
And what about the loading and unloading fees?
That would be jurisdictional to the Port Commission.
Okay. And what about the effect on harbor, water, and fire districts? Are they going to lose revenue, and will the district lines be redrawn if the port property annexes into the city?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question completely, and I'm not sure anybody really knows the answer to that question. My guess would be that Harbor Fire would continue to supply fire protection to the port, that there would be some arrangement or agreement between Harbor Fire and the City of Brookings Fire Department to offset some of the costs one way or the other there. I don't know that. There is no reason anymore that if the city can't provide water, that we couldn't continue to buy water from Harbor, although that's one of the main motivators, in my view, is to buy city water, is to be on city water. Now, so, you know, I don't think there's anything that forces that to change from what it is today. Am I wrong with that, Ron?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
Currently, City and Harbor Fire District have mutual response agreements. If a 911 call goes off in the port, both firehouses respond as if the other one is not going to be there.
Right.
It's automatic mutual response. And if there's two fire trucks down here, then all the better. Regardless, whoever gets here first, the fire's started. So that agreement's already in place, and I don't see any change to that.
So you don't see the fire district boundary changing or the revenue that the district collects. So the port does or does not pay into the Harbor Fire District?
I don't know. It doesn't. The port doesn't pay local taxes. It doesn't
okay.
pay the property taxes for its business operations to the county.
Because it's a government entity.
Because it's a government agency.
Okay.
Now, businesses that are renting from the port pay port property tax. My business is here at the port, and I need to pay property tax on that because it's a function-based property tax that just looks like everybody else's property tax.
Correction, Jim. They don't pay port property tax.
No, they pay county.
Property taxes on the improvements on the rented property.
Right.
Okay. So what are the broader benefits of this? Are we going to see like coordinated planning between the city and the port to improve the community? How would that look? Ron, why don't you take it?
The engine is economics here, and economics times three, economics. The planning process is complex when you're dealing with water frontage type situations. And we all know where the county is in its financial situation. It virtually doesn't have a planning department. They will have to hire out contract services for planning. And so the greatest thing I believe the city has to offer the port is a complete boat, no pun intended, of services. Planning, fire, we already covered fire, it's mutual response, police, and any other services that you would expect from the city is there and made available. Planning is going to be a big part of this because we have proposed with the port the discussion of a waterfront overlay zone. We could make ourselves available to grants. You have a full steam jurisdiction standing behind the port. that's a political statement, isn't it?
No, that's, I agree with that.
We have a county in crisis that's got questionable jurisdiction abilities.
What is a, what did you call that, a waterfront something zone?
Overlay.
Waterfront overlay zone.
What is it?
It's a different zoning technique, and you can avail yourself to different types of planning situations that perhaps could save you DEQ issues, for one.
Well, you got to remember that the city already is a waterfront on the river. It's a part of this process. If we let our minds get a little bit larger here, we think about a planning process that's divided by 300 feet of water in this river. It makes little sense. For the port to be going off in direction A and the city going off in direction B, we should be coordinating that whole planning effort as we build out this community. That's what has to happen, and we won't do that unless we have the facility to do it, which is the city's planning department, to be very frank. That's what we have to deal with, and it's an excellent department.
Okay, well, I want to thank you, gentlemen. Ron, Jim, I've enjoyed talking with you today. And this has been Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and your host, Jan Barbas, speaking with Brookings Mayor Ron Hedenskog and Port of Brookings Harbor Commissioner Jim Relaford for Curry Matters.
There you go.